Hi, I'm Mark from Pure Energy Meditation, and this is one of my question and answer video blogs. People send me questions sometimes email, on the phone, on Skype, and also people that I meet. And what I like to do is answer those questions and do it in a way that I can share with other people, hence doing it as a video. Now, no one has all the answers, and I'll put my hands up straight away and say, I'm still learning with this. I've been meditating for over 30 years, I've been teaching for about 20 now. And I'm still learning. When you make big realizations, when you get access to higher states of consciousness, they don't come with an instruction manual. So it's not like I can answer the question by looking through the manual and saying, this is the definitive answer. But what I can do is share with you the experiences I've had from my own meditation and also from teaching many, many, many different people. People who've also come, say, for example, as completely beginners, or people who've maybe done 25 years of meditation before they've started working with me. So I've taught a whole range of people, and what I'm sharing here really is what works for them, what works for me, and very much what I've found to be true from my own personal meditative exploration so far. So one of the biggest questions I get asked, and it's probably one of the most important questions, is in relation to the light and sound meditation that I teach, what is this and why is it different from other forms of meditation where people are referring to light and sound? And I think that's a fantastic question. It's also a very, very difficult one to answer, so it's a nice one to start with. But in a nutshell, we need to take a real step back and, first of all, understand the kind of what the different levels of consciousness are, what people have access to. And then within that context, I can answer the question of this light and sound meditation. But to start with, light and sound meditation is as it is described. It's meditating on light and sound. So that's not light and sound, like the lights we have around us here and the sound that I'm recording. But those lights and sounds, for example, when you switch on a light or when you're looking at your screen right now and you're seeing an image and you're hearing, those are light and sound energy on the physical plane. So you physically hear it and you physically see it. A lot of people, when they close their eyes, they may see color. And when you dream, you're seeing images and you're hearing things. This is light and sound energy, not on the physical level, but on what we call the astral level, the astral or the dream level. So you have an emotional body, it's where you dream. It's where you can meditate. So when you see splodges of color or anything like this, you're very much in the astral plane, as people call it. So the emotional energy level. So we have a physical level, we have an emotional level. If you've ever closed your eyes and you get very strong recall of pictures, or you can visualize things like a square or a triangle or anything like that, then you're very much using light and sound energy or light energy on the mental level. So when you visually see stuff or imagine stuff, that's much more of a mental construct. Now, the mental level is a bit faster than the emotional level, and the emotional level is a bit faster than the physical level. And this is pretty much what people are operating within all the time. So people are aware of their emotions, their thoughts, and their physical body. And you put those things together and kind of organize them around the physical presence, and you have a personality. And that's great, and that's what we're all doing all of the time. But there's more. So, as well as these things, the mind, the emotions, and the physical, there's other subtler levels. So, for example, you've got something called an ether or etheric vehicle or body, and you can perceive this in meditation, and that sits between your physical body and your emotional body. And it's very much interacting with the minerals in your body. So people that say lack a lot of minerals in their diet will maybe suffer from the fact that their etheric web, which helps organize their body, starts to break down, and that can create all kinds of imbalances and illness. But it can also leave them more exposed to experiencing astral energy, and that may be a good thing or it may not be a good thing depending on what the person wants. In the normal balanced person, and I'm aware we're kind of going off piste here a bit with this, but we'll follow this anyway. So when your etheric web starts to break down or be weaker, astral energy can come in. You may find that you're involuntarily astrally projecting a bit more, or you're picking up other people's emotions a bit too much. if you want that, that's great. But if you don't, then you just need to kind of work on getting the right minerals back into your body to allow the etheric web to integrate, and also look at things like diet and lifestyle and stuff like this. And I'll probably go into this a lot more. But just to paint the pictures of the different levels, so we have physical, etheric, we've got our astral or emotional body, we've got our mental vehicle, and then we have a higher mental. So the higher mental isn't so much personality based, it's not yours, it's not someone else's, it's much more kind of like a collective thing. But the higher mind is where you can do things like advanced philosophy or complex mathematics and stuff like this, where you're really pushing yourself a little bit. Or, for example, if you were to visualize a cube and on each surface of the cube put a different color and actually see this on the inside and rotate the cube, you'd be very much using your higher mind to do this. Now, beyond that is something called the Buddhic plane or the intuitive plane. And it's not a personality at all. So your intuition is going to be the same as someone else's, or else it wouldn't be intuition. It would be a hunch, a guess. That would be much more lower mind stuff. So intuition is when you know something without having to reason or logic it. So you just know straight away. It's like instantaneous download of information. And it's always going to be accurate. So, for example, classic intuition is the phone's about to ring and you think, oh, the phone's going to ring, and then it rings. Or the phone rings and you know who it is straight away. Not guessing because, oh, it's my mum, she normally phones at this time of day, but you just know. Or if someone knocks at the door and you know who it is. This is very much people tapping into their intuition. And the more you meditate, the more you can actually tap into your intuition at will, because it's a state of consciousness. It's a vibrational level that you have access to. But like I said, there's less personality because there isn't your version of intuition and my version and someone else's version. It just is. So at that point, the sense of me or you or whatever starts to break down, and there just is a sense of beingness. And then above that, you have the atomic or atomic point. Now, I don't make these names up. These are just names that I've learned as I've learned and explored my meditation. But it is a definite level of consciousness. And this is where all the things within lower creation, and by lower, I mean all these levels I'm describing, kind of come together. So if you wanted to use the analogy of physics, it would be like the point of the Big Bang. It's like everything's there and then boom. Out it comes. In the Tao Te Ching, they talk about the Tao being the energy, the source of everything, and then it splits into yin and yang. Well, the point just before it splits, where it starts that journey of splitting, that would be the atmic. And metaphorically speaking, it's connected or related to the top of your head, the crown chakra, as some people call it. That's the highest point of awareness that most people have. Now, within all of this, there is light and sound. So when you are sitting down and you're meditating and you're noticing colors or you're noticing geometries or anything like this, you're noticing light. And some people will also notice sounds, and it may be a certain pitch or vibration that they experience. And there's different qualities and different types within that. And for example, the music of the spheres, which is written about, is actually people tuning in and listening to that flow of energy, that sound current. And even modern physics, string theory, is saying that, look, basically everything that exists is a vibration, it's a sound current. So it's not surprising that they're coming to those conclusions, because in meditation you can discover that for yourself. So if you hear any sounds on the inside that are not made by your mind or not perceived externally, then you're starting to notice sounds. So people can experience light and sound on every single level of consciousness. And because I'm talking to you now, I'm demonstrating the fact that I'm using my mind to put into words concepts that really don't belong in words. And again, a great book, the Tao Te Ching, starts by saying, look, if you can name it, that isn't it. So I'm trying to explain the concept of light and sound, and so I can use words like light and color and geometry and sound in terms of vibration and sound as words, and as a listener or a viewer, you will understand based on your experience what that means, because you can go, oh yeah, well I've seen color, or I've seen geometry, or I've experienced these vibrations, so yes, I know what light and sound meditation is. And that's exactly where I was when many years ago now, when I was looking for more advanced forms of meditation, and I stumbled across this thing called light and sound meditation, and I thought, well, I'm perceiving light, and I certainly heard sounds and vibrations and felt them as well in my meditation. So what's the deal? Well, if we fast forward to now, many, many years later, having meditated on light and sound, the best analogy I can give you is that if you were to imagine, you've probably all seen a picture of a white light coming into a prism, and then out the other side comes all the different colors of the rainbow. And from what I described earlier, the atmic or the atomic point, the highest point, your crown chakra, would be that prism. That's the point where pure energy splits into all the different colors. And down here we have the manifestation, 10,000 things, as Lao Tzu referred to it, which is all the different vibrations manifested out into physical form. Light and sound meditation, when I talk about it, is this pure energy that's coming in and then creating all of this. So all of this is a part of it, but any part of this is not that. In other words, if you were looking at the red spectrum, you're missing out all the other colours. If you're looking at the green spectrum, you're missing out red and all the other colours. So no one part of manifestation is whole. And equally, when you're meditating on light or sound or color or geometry, vibrations within these seven lower levels or vehicles, as I've described them, you're meditating on a part of light and sound, but not the whole of light and sound. So, another way of referring to this light and sound meditation is higher light and sound meditation or spiritual light and sound meditation. It's just words. But what I'm going to try and do is explain where it's different. So, if you were to go on a journey and become stiller and stiller and stiller and expand your consciousness more and more and more, you would be able to perceive anything from the atmic point down. And the atmic point, by the way, if you sit within it, is a sense of unity, a sense of being one with everything. Now, that sounds a lot like enlightenment, but again, it's an experience of, and therefore, an experience always needs someone to witness and something to be witnessed. And therefore, it's not a complete samadhi or union with that thing. And even if you sat permanently in the atmic, you're still sitting below the source of the atmic or below the source of creation. So, again, the frustration of words, you can have an experience of being oneness with everything and you can think I'm enlightened, and yet you're not the cause of everything and therefore you're not enlightened. And it can sound really arrogant to say, well, you're not enlightened, but if your job is, or if you've chosen the path of being a spiritual teacher or a spiritual guide, you want people to realize for themselves their highest nature, their truest nature. So, very, very true story of someone that many, many years ago had had this experience of sitting in the atmic and being connected and one with everything. And they said, I'm enlightened, I don't need to meditate anymore. And I said to them, well, look, have you experienced this, this, and this, and this, and this? And they said, well, no. And I said, okay. You're going to have to find out for yourself. So, if you're enlightened, there's nothing more to do. But if you're curious and you want to find out more, then start meditating on this energy. Notice what happens. Notice if it's different. And if it is, then you can pursue it and follow it to its conclusion. And if not, if it's what you've already got, then you're just validating what you've already got. And that's great. And I'm very happy for you. And so they did. And many, many years later, they actually realized their enlightenment, as in being the source of everything, as opposed to sitting in a point where you are connected to everything that is manifest. And so, they have had both those experiences, and they can say from their own realizations what that first experience was and where its limits were, and then ultimately what enlightenment is, and the fact that that's not limited. But again, these are just words, and this is something you have to find out for yourself. So, going back to, well, light and sound. Beyond the crown chakra, or beyond the atmic point of creation, of manifest creation, is, how can I put it, massive, vast levels of spiritual consciousness. And it's pure. It doesn't have personality as such. Your sense of I am me and I'm not you and all of this is based on duality. You know where your edges are, so you know what you're not, and therefore you can define what you are. When you start to expand your consciousness and be aware of all the things that are on higher levels, you start to realize that there is a sense of there's this oneness. And these spiritual planes, there is still duality within them, but it's a lot less. In other words, it's a lot closer to source or to love. And this light and sound energy, and I keep doing this because it's like it coming down, this light and sound energy, first of all, is the cause of everything within creation. And when I say creation, I mean the seven levels of consciousness, not just the physical. And therefore, it's the cause of everything you already have access to. Now, if you imagine if you were in a room and there's a door, but the door doesn't have a handle, and in the door is a tiny little hole with a crystal in it, and on the other side of that door is pure white light, is the cause of everything. Now, you can stumble around in this room your whole life and never even notice the little crystal in the door, and that's fine. There's lots to explore in the room. If you allowed yourself to really pay attention and notice the brightest part of everything you can notice, you'd notice the light coming through this crystal. And that light, because it's a crystal, would be splitting into all the different colours, you know, like a prism. But if you moved right up against it and looked at it, you would notice that through this crystal you would see or perceive spiritual light. Now, you're still perceiving it, and you're still separate from it, and you're still within the room. But that's about as far as people can go. So I remember when I was meditating many years ago, I used to perceive my thousand petal lotus, my crown chakra, and I would perceive it in a certain way, but I couldn't go beyond it. There's a process called initiation, and initiation, which just means beginning, is literally someone opening that room, the door to the room, so that not only can you now see the light fully, but you can actually leave and go into the light. So whereas before you can get right up to it, if you're really, really good at meditation, you can get right up to it, but you can't go beyond into it because the door blocks you. And the only way the door can be opened is from the other side. So someone who's already got access to the energy can open that door, literally take your hand and pull you through the door and reveal to you that there is all this love and light and sound on the other side. And it was creating the room, and it was creating everything you were experiencing within that room. So initiation is literally that process of someone opening the door and taking your hand and pulling you out. And it's a physical process, so that someone literally will sit there with you in meditation, and they will gently place their hand on your face on certain points, because there's chakras and energy centers around the eyes and stuff. And they will basically give you a massive boost of energy, connecting you directly to light and sound energy on these higher levels. Now, within that, you still contain everything you contained before. So you still have your mind, your emotions, your body, and access to all these seven levels of consciousness. But you now have a way to go beyond your crown chakra, to go beyond the limits that are there. Now, these limits aren't, there's no judgment, and it's not a prison. The limits exist simply because the nature of the mind and the nature of emotions and the nature of the body is to perceive down. In other words, we can only perceive that which is lower or slower than ourselves. You can't perceive what's behind you or faster, because you don't have a vehicle that is vibrating at that frequency. So the mind cannot take you into light and sound energy, because the mind is basically a part of it, is within it, but has a limit in terms of its vibration. The intuitive plane, sitting in it, cannot help you transcend it. It just gives you more of awareness within it. So all of these vehicles that we have are fantastic, and there's a lot to explore within them in terms of exploring them in meditation. But more awareness of mind cannot take you past the mind. More awareness of emotions cannot take you past emotions. More awareness of the atmic cannot take you past the atmic. So you need something that's faster to basically take you onto that faster plane. And actually what happens is your aura changes, you get new chakras, and you get a new center that is permanently in this light and sound energy. And that then becomes where you meditate from, to perceive this higher vibration of light and sound energy. And from experience, having meditated on it for many years, it's real, it's permanent, and I can access it whenever I get still in my meditation. And a lot of the time, I'm actually hearing the sound currents and vibrations all of the time, and it's quite nice, it's always there. It's also something that I know is not anything to do with me in terms of me being special, and therefore anyone can do it. If I can do it, believe me, anyone can do it. But beyond the limits of words and trying to say, well, this is different, the only way you're ever going to find out is to find out for yourself. Now, the light and sound energy in itself is not the end of the journey. It really, really is the beginning. This light and sound has an intelligence to it, and it comes from love. And its job is basically, if you pay attention to it, it guides you back to realizing that there is just one thing everywhere, and it is you. In other words, enlightenment. And so the meditation on this higher form of light and sound very much becomes about expansion and about transcendence. So you ultimately can transcend your mind, transcend the whole cycle, the karmic cycle of birth and death and all these other things. It doesn't really matter what I say at this point, because these are just ideas. But if we keep it very simple, by focusing on the light and sound energy, you actually spiritually, energetically are expanding. And the more you expand, the more you include. Now, I don't mean expand in a three-dimensional sense. I mean more in a kind of vertical sense, in terms of energy vibration. Expansion really is speeding up. So the faster you become, the more you can perceive, because you can only perceive that which is slower than you. So you can perceive your thoughts because you have a mind which is faster than thought. You only perceive your emotions because you have an emotional body which is faster than your emotions. But you don't create your emotions and you don't create your thoughts. They're always in response to your environment. So even though you are faster than them, you're not faster than the environment that creates them, and therefore there's no real freedom within that. So by meditating on light and sound, you're permanently kind of accelerating your consciousness to a point where you include more and more and more. And eventually you transcend light and sound itself and realize unity or love or enlightenment or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't really matter. It's just an idea. But it is real, but it's only an idea to you until you've realized it for yourself. If you've already realized it, fantastic, in which case, share this with other people. But it's not an experience. It's not an idea. It's not a belief. It's not something you visualize. It's not a philosophy. It's none of these things. All of these things are the mind. It's being. And the part of you that is expanding is not the mind. So your mind will never fully grasp or understand what this is, and it can never communicate it. If I could really communicate what enlightenment is, then you'd be enlightened just by listening. And that's never going to happen, because you can't put something that's limitless inside the limits of words. Words are limits. The mind is a limit. It cannot contain the limitless. You have to become that which is limitless. And the only way to do that is through energetic expansion. And I don't mean energetic running, you know, at the gym or anything like that. Like I said, the words expansion, the words transcendence, all these words, they're just words. They don't encompass really what this is, but they're like signposts. They point you in the right direction. So higher light and sound meditation, or spiritual light and sound meditation, is meditating on these faster planes of consciousness that are much higher and much faster than what you have access to within the seven vehicles, within the seven levels of consciousness. The stuff in the lower levels is all a reflection of the higher levels. So it's not that it's invalid or it's a waste of time or anything like that. It's wonderful and it's beautiful, and it's actually where we function as human beings. But your true nature and your true potential is to also include within your consciousness all the spiritual levels and eventually transcend everything and realize your enlightenment. And so this light and sound meditation is an extension of what you already have, but it's a lot purer. And unless you've been physically initiated, then the chances are you don't yet have access to it. The good news is that myself and many, many other people around the planet are able to physically initiate people. And once you're initiated, you've got a permanent connection to this light and sound energy. And by the way, there's not one version here and another version there. It's not one school has one form of light and sound and another school has another form of light and sound. There is just light and sound energy, and no one owns it. It's not anyone's property. At various times in human evolution, there will be people on the planet who can initiate and who can pass this ability on to others. And sometimes the planet will be quite quiet in that sense, in that there might not be someone all the time. But when there are people, then the potential's there. And so this is one of those times when there's a lot of potential for people to realize this for themselves. I personally don't charge any money or anything like that. I try not to put any obstacles in the way of people realizing this. So if people are ready, I'll gladly share with them the kindness that has been shown to me and to reveal to them light and sound. On my website, pureenergymeditation.com, I've actually put a page where I describe, the kind of things that people should be doing in terms of preparation for meditation on light and sound energy, and it's really not that difficult. So have a look there, and if you've got any questions, you can get in touch with me. So hopefully I've shed some light, no pun intended, but shed some light on the difference in terms of light and sound meditation from what you may be experiencing in light and sound within the lower levels, so from your crown chakra down, compared to the higher form of light and sound, which there is only one form. There may be different schools around the planet teaching it, giving people access to it, and that's fantastic because the more the merrier, the more people that are connected, the better. And by the way, it's kind of really worth understanding the bigger picture as well. So this light and sound ultimately is love. That's all it is. It's just love in a form that can guide you back to realizing absolute love or the source or however you want to refer to it. Every single person that's connected to this light and sound, and like I said, it is a permanent connection. Every single person who gets connected to this light and sound, not only do they benefit, but all of us benefit because they create a channel allowing this much higher vibration of love to basically manifest into creation. So they can do healing, they can basically just transmit love and help raise the planet. Now, there's a lot of ideas about, humanity is going to raise to the next dimension and all of these things. The only way there's any change is fresh energy. So again, if you're a light worker or a healer or anything like this, and you want to actually really, really help yourself and others, then once you're connected to this energy, you really have a lot more potential. Because if you're not connected to this energy, then all you're doing is basically moving energy around within the seven lower levels of consciousness, because there's no new energy coming in unless you're actually acting as a conduit for love. Now, that doesn't mean that people working in the lower levels aren't demonstrating love. And I know some fantastic, beautiful people who really come from the heart and do a lot of good in the world. If they had access to this, which they do, they just have to sit down, meditate, and ask someone who already has access to give them access. But when they have access to this, they'll be able to do so much more in terms of healing and helping and, making the world a better place, which sounds very corny, but it's one of the reasons I get up in the morning and I meditate and I want to share this with other people, is just to help make the world a better place. So any questions, just get in touch, and hopefully you found this useful. Thank you.